Chinga by Irwin. Read by Tridenter. Quiet moments are the ones that make the difference, the ones they built a decade-long friendship on. Wilson walks into House's office with two cups of coffee. House is slumped in his chair, and Wilson hands him one of the cups without comment, then pulls up a second chair to sit with him as the dusk breaks out over their part of the world, and they wait for a woman to die. He stretches his long legs out in front of him, props the cup on his stomach, and doesn't say anything. Neither of them do. They don't need to. This is their own version of Shiva, a tradition that has weaved a tight coil between them, bound them and bonded them in a way that transcends past whatever words could be spoken. The silence is what unites them, fills the air with a unified knowledge of death and companionship. They have done this a countless number of times over the years, and this is all that matters in the end, that Wilson is here, that they have coffee, and they are quietly sharing in the same thing. Wilson even brought food in the form of a vending machine beverage. Sometimes they do speak. After half an hour of quiet, House will start off with the worst joke about death that he can think of. Wilson will grimace, because the joke really will be just tasteless, and then repeat one he heard from a patient some time back, and it will be more atrociously offending than the joke House told. He will say, "Cancer victims know the best death jokes," and sip his coffee. And House will say, "Did you hear the one about..." and proceed to tell another before another lapse of silence cradles them. Then House will get up to pace, and Wilson switches chairs because his back hurts. House's coffee will be gone, and Wilson's coffee will be cold. They'll continue on in their mock adaptation of awake until a call comes through that the patient is dead, or until the sun rises for a start of a new day, or until Wilson falls asleep despite the caffeine he's ingested. Sometimes it's all three, and Wilson wakes up to the morning sun with a crick in his neck, and House, playing his Game Boy in his desk chair, with a fresh cup of coffee resting next to his elbow. All that matters in the end is that they do it together. Wilson doesn't think that House really needs the company. House, for as long as Wilson has known him, has been good at differentiating between personal grief over the loss of a person and professional grief over the failure of medical miracles. His logic and his numbers comfort him in times like these, and so he has little use for a supportive hand on the shoulder. Wilson will still give it to him anyway, even if he doesn't require it. As long as House allows Wilson to be there, Wilson will be there. It's a tradition, this shared mourning. It is one of the strongest stones in the tower that is their friendship. Remove it, and the entire thing will begin to wobble unsteadily. It may not collapse, but like the game of Jenga, it is better to lose a piece near the top than a piece near the bottom. This is the base of their friendship, the thing everything else boils down to when things get rocky. Wilson is there, and House is there. They are quiet together. They drink coffee. And somewhere in the hospital, in some patient's room, there is a woman for whose death they wait. The small acts are what keep them together. This is the very core of their friendship. The end.